And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Father, help us now as we look at some of the similarities here between Christians and the Christians here at Smyrna and the church here at Shining Light. And as we find these similarities, Lord, may we take the admonishment, may we take the encouragement, may we take whatever it is that we need to get and glean from this passage. Lord, we may leave here differently than when we came in, identifying with the Christians of old, knowing that there's nothing new under the sun. Bless now in our ministry. And Lord, encourage our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We talked about this church last week, and we're talking about the church ages and the Christian types and the church types and things like that. We found out that Smyrna comes from the meaning of myrrh. Amen. And myrrh is aromatic. How many of y'all like that fragrance that I handed around last week? Smelled pretty good, didn't it? Amen. I like that smell. Amen. And it's also used for embalming dead bodies and anointing oil. We mentioned this. The picture then is of a persecution, possible death, but with a holy anointing from God. That's this church at Smyrna. That may be us at times as well. Amen. By the way, though we get persecuted, amen, guess what? We can still smell good to God. Amen. How can we smell good to God even though we get persecuted? Even though we get persecuted, we can still smell. Because most of the things that dead smell bad, don't they? Amen. How can we still be smelling good to God? Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. We can be peaceful. Amen. How else can we smell good to God, although we're persecuted? Gregory? Blessed, I don't think that's a beatitude, but that's a good attitude. Amen. Amen. What else can we do to show that it's smelling good, even though we get crushed, we get bruised, we get beat down? Well, what is there that we can do? How about just act Christ-like? Wasn't Christ a sweet savor to God when he got bruised and persecuted? Yes, he was. Amen. He was reviled. He reviled not again. Amen. And so that is one of the things that we see about this church here. The church age represented is closely after the apostolic era. The church type then is the persecuted, protected church. Because although this church was persecuted, they were protected. Think about this. You and I can be persecuted, but protected. The devil can't do but so much in your life. And sometimes, don't you wish he could do nothing in your life? Amen. Amen. I wish he couldn't do anything at all. Amen. But that's how God perfects us. Guess what? Job was tested and tried and proven by who? The devil. But who okayed it? God did. God did. So the church type represented here is persecuted, but protected. The Christian type here then is a Christian type that is persecuted, but is protected, much like Job. And we must remain faithful despite the persecution. Is it easy to quit when going gets tough? Yeah. It's easy to quit, is it? Pastor Watt, how many times have we seen basketball players that they're getting beat down and they just quit? They quit. They quit in the third quarter. Some of them quit in the first half, amen? I mean, you look up at the score and you see you're getting beat down by 30, 40 points. You just give up. You quit, amen? Tennis players do it. Football players do it. We're getting beat by Tom Brady. He's down. He's up 4 touchdowns. And you look at Tom Brady and you think there's no way we can come back against Tom Brady, amen? But guess what? Philadelphia said, we're not quitting. We're not quitting. Philadelphia came back and quit. Tom Brady, on the other hand, could have quit when he was down against Atlanta last year in the Super Bowl. And guess what? They came back and beat Atlanta. Hey, so what am I saying? Even though we're persecuted, we are not to quit. Amen. The Christians were sorely persecuted, but they remained faithful. And Smyrna has been called a sweet-smelling savor, or the poorest and yet the purest of the seven. So you and I may be persecuted, but we got to remain faithful. We saw the reference to Christ there in verse 8. It says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, that's to the pastor, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and alive. Again, that's a reference to who? Jesus Christ, amen. So we see the reference to Christ there. Then we saw their woes through persecution. Their woes through persecution. It says down there, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And so we see their woes through persecution, but we also see their wealth through persecution. He says, thou art rich. We talked about how we can be poor physically, but rich spiritually. Amen. By the way, how many of y'all own a mansion in heaven? Amen. Everybody that's saved got a mansion. Amen. And guess what? If we're saved, there's certain things that you and I get just for being saved. And the lost don't get that. And guess what? We get to take ours where? To heaven. The lost can't take anything to heaven but their sin. And guess where their sin is going to take them? To hell. So their wealth through persecution. He said, I know your poverty. He said, but you're rich. You're beggarly, but you have some wealth. Amen. Possibly it was stolen. And that's where we left off. Now we want to go to the next point. Their woes through persecution, their wealth through persecution, but now their warning through persecution. By the way, the church at Smyrna had nothing negative against it. There's only one other church that had nothing negative against it. Anybody know what church that was? All the rest of them said either repent or have somewhat against thee, or you've got this going on and you need to work, watch out for this. Anybody know the other only church that has nothing negative said about it? Laodicea? No, they've got plenty bad about them. Philadelphia is the only other church that has nothing bad. Go over to verse number 7. Chapter 3 and verse number 7. This is the only other church that is nothing negative said about it. All the others have something negative. And notice what it says down there in verse number 7. Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Notice this, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. Thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. We've heard that somewhere before, haven't we? What other church do we hear that apply to? Smyrna. So it's amazing, both churches that have no rebuke against them, both have an issue with people that say they're Jews and are not. It says, behold, I will make thee of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So nothing bad to say about Philadelphia, nothing bad to say about Smyrna, but you find them both having an issue with people that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Go back to chapter number 2, because that's going to be the topic of discussion tonight. Their warning through persecution. The only other church that has this same connotation about the synagogue of Satan, or saying they're Jews in that fashion without being rebuked, is Philadelphia. Notice what he says down in verse number 9 again in chapter 2. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, The word blasphemy there means vilification or evil speaking. Normally, it's utilized to speak evil against God. In this instance, it is not. Guess who they're speaking evil against? Christians. The Christians in Smyrna, more importantly. Now, of course, they did the same thing over against the church at Philadelphia. What is Philadelphia known as? The city of brotherly what? Love. Now, what does most of the Jews stand for as opposed to love? What's the opposite of love? Well, yeah, hate, but we're keeping it alliterated. Love, and what do we live? We live by love. They live by what? Law. So if I'm the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, I'm living by love, the Jews are then are going to talk about me because they say we should be living by what? Law. Smyrna here, they're being persecuted as well. They're of the synagogue of Satan. So the word blasphemy does not seem to refer to be blasphemy against God because the Jews believe in who? God. They believe in Jehovah God. They've got one problem, though. They don't believe that Jehovah God manifested himself in the flesh and took on a body and died on the cross for the sins of the world. That's the problem. Okay, and so the blasphemy here is against the Christians in Smyrna, and that's the bitter opposition that they are seeming to get, because notice what he says in verse number 10. Right after he says they are of the synagogue of Satan, verse 10 says this, fear none of what? Those things which thou shalt what? Suffer. Who do you think they're suffering at? Whose hand are they going to be suffering at? For the more part, the Jews. The Jews. Who did Jesus suffer at? The Jews. Who did Paul suffer at? The Jews. The Gentiles didn't do a whole lot to Paul. They had their moments, but guess who stirred them up oftentimes? The Jews. Amen. Now, they had their moments when they got stirred up against the goddess of Diana and all that other stuff, but most of the time it was the Jews that kind of did this. He says, behold, verse number 10, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou what? Faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. And so the reason of the reproaches here from the synagogue of Satan is unstated. It doesn't say what they did or why they did it, but we can look at scriptures and compare scripture with scripture and what was normally the cause of the Jews beating up on the Christians. Law versus love. Works versus faith. Amen. And so there's a quote here, Adam Clark, in his commentary. He says this: there were persons there who professed Judaism, that is the law, that's following the way of the law, and had a synagogue in the place and professed to worship the true God, but they had no genuine religion, and they served the devil rather than God by persecuting true Christians. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, says it this way: they are the synagogue of Satan, means that though they worshiped in a synagogue and professed to be worshipers of God, yet they were not worthy of the name and deserve rather to be regarded as in the service of Satan due to their treatment of Christians. And so both areas, and wherever you read this, it was something that these guys were doing that said they were Jews to persecute the Christians. And by the way, you will find that all the time. Who is some of the biggest haters against Christians nowadays? Religious people. What did I say last year? Why don't we just all coexist? Why don't we all just get along? Andrew, if you go down there with the high HIV patients, start saying Jesus Christ is the only way, they will hate on you something fierce. Right, you can't say Jesus is the only way. Okay, well, read it for yourself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, that's not what that means. Ooh, what does it mean then, Brother Duffy? It means what it means. But you take that stand, and man, you will get beat up. And by the way, the heathens will beat you up. The religious crowd will beat you up. The Catholics will beat you up. Jehovah's Witnesses will beat you up. The Mormons will still love you, but amen, they got false doctrine anyway, amen. They will beat you up something fierce. I've never seen a Mormon get in an argument with you, amen. They will plead their point, but they're kind, they're gracious. At least you can say that about them. The rest of them will punch you on your nose, amen. And so when you look at this, why should this group be so dangerous either if they're in the church of Smyrna or if they're just existing with the church of Smyrna. Why would this group be so dangerous? That's the question I asked you with last week, because notice what it says again. I know the blasphemy or the evil speaking of them would say they are Jews and are not. If they were actually true Jews, I guess they probably wouldn't do what they're doing. He says, but are the synagogue of Satan. He said, not only are they not Jews that say they are Jews, but they're aiding the assembly of Satan. By the way, synagogue is the meeting place. He says, they are the assembling of Satan. Why would this group be so dangerous, either in the church or influencing the church from outside? Why would they be so dangerous that they have that kind of a chastisement towards them? Anybody? Okay, but now if they were truly following Judaism, would they do something evil?
Well, they shouldn't.
They really shouldn't.
Yes, but it sounds like they are.
Amen. Anybody else? Why would this church, why would that be so dangerous, Ms. Dawson? Infiltrating with the false teachings. Because if they're true Jew, they're going to be just as vehemently convinced that you got to keep the law. And Brother Duffy, you've got to be circumcised and you've got to keep the law. And if you're not circumcised and if you don't keep the law, you're not getting to heaven. So how dare you go over here and try to tell G2 that he can just be saved by grace through faith. Brother Duffy, that is wrong. They will be just as vehement about that as I am about being saved by grace through faith. Amen. And they would jump up and down on you, Brother Duffy. Brother Duffy. They would jump up and down to you for trying to proselytize this young man and tell him a falsehood that he can be saved by faith through grace. But guess that's what the Bible teaches. Amen. So the danger in having this faction in the church or influencing the church is that law and grace is like water and oil. How many of y'all seen water and oil? Moms, you wash your frying pan after you fry, and then you put it in there with the water. What does that grease do? Sits up on top. Unless you got one of those Dawn or something that really breaks that grease down. That oil sits up on top, amen. And guess what? If you try to wash that frying pan that you fried your fish in with just plain old water, what's it going to look like? Greasy, like some of the dishes in my home after my children wash dishes. Amen. No, we just talked about them last night. They have come a long, long way. I mean, it used to be big specks of stuff on it now. Now it's invisible stuff that you can't see. You can just feel it. You wash this. They have done a good job. What am I saying? Water and oil don't mix. Law and grace don't mix. Amen. And so they would begin to mix law and grace or works and faith. Can they coexist? It's either going to be law or it's going to be what? Grace. It's going to be of works or it's going to be of what? Of faith. It can't be both. You can't say, well, Brother Duffy, you're saved by grace, but now you got to keep the law. That's what Galatians is all about. But there are those that try to do it. Let me tell you, it's a miserable existence. It's a miserable existence. So we're going to look at just a couple of verses here, actually more than a couple of verses, amen. But just try to bring this. Because if I'm standing for the law, what am I possibly going to bring into the fellowship? What types of things am I going to try to bring into the fellowship? For one, what day would I try to change the worship to? Sabbath, Saturday. If I'm truly going to follow Judaism, Brother Duffy, don't tell G2 that he needs to come to church on Sunday. That's the first day of the week. What day should he come to church, Brother Duffy? The Sabbath. And so if I'm truly going to follow it, I'm going to do my dead level best to push these Christians and this church to come to church on Saturday because that's the true Sabbath. I've already got conflict in the church now because now the baby Christian says, well, yeah, it does say, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So now I got a conflict. What else am I going to try to push if I'm going to be standing for Judaism? of the law besides the Sabbath? Rituals. A bunch of feasts and festivals, tabernacles. Have me a booth and pitch my tent. Have the Passover and put blood over my door. I'm going to have all the holy days. I got to have my new moon Sabbath. And I got to have this. And we've got to drain the blood just right. And I can't eat any shrimp. There's my Father's Day gone already. I can't have any lobster. Hey, there goes the rest of y'all's Father's Day. Amen. Can't have no catfish, no chitlins, no ham hocks, amen? No ham. Father's Day is shot. No what?
No biscuits.
No biscuits, amen? It's got leaven in it, amen? It's rising up to the top, amen? My whole menu has just been shot. Can't have any escargot. It's got to go, amen? And so they would try to bring that in. And so and don't even try to have them over to your house and offer them some of that stuff. So what is going on here? He says, look, I know your works. I know your tribulation. I know your poverty. He says, but you're still rich. And I know the blasphemy of these guys which say they are Jews. He says, they're not. They're not true Jews. He says, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. They're put there to give you fits. Amen. He said, they're not there to help you out. Now, whether they're outside the church trying to get in or whether they're in the church trying to take over, he said, look, they are not. They're of the synagogue of Satan. They're of the assembling of the devil. He says, don't fear none of those things, amen. So let's look at a couple of things. They'll be standing for Sabbath laws, sacrificial laws, blood laws, holy days and those things, amen. And go with me here to, let's go here. Let's start in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 9. Because if these guys are allowed to exist in the church, then I'm going to have a problem. Galatians chapter 4. Now, is there anything wrong with them keeping holy days? No. Anything wrong with them sacrificing, Daniel, like you mentioned? No. Hey, if they want to go out and live in a booth, if they want to cook and not have any leaven in their stuff, amen, and have all flat bread, praise God for them. It's probably more healthier anyway. And they don't want any ham, that's good for them. Hey, they say swines are dirty, amen. They don't want any pig feet, fine. They don't want any, fine. They don't want any fried shrimp, Fred, fine. More for me. Is that going to hurt them? No. But if they tell you you can't do it, if you do it, you're wrong with God, now we got a problem. Now we got a problem. Galatians chapter number, what did I say, 4? Notice verse number 9. But now after that ye have known God, is that right? Okay, yeah. Now if you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Notice that. He says, if you do keep these holy days, feasts, festivals, you want to be in bondage. Why? The minute you skip a day, what's going to happen? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. You observe days, verse 10, and months, and times and years. Paul said, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul said, I didn't teach you that. He says, but now you've let these guys come in here and teach you that you've got to do that. That's not right. He says, I'm afraid of you. Give you another one. Go down to verse number 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You try to tell them that that's not right. They get mad at you. Paul said, in reference to these guys that are affecting them, he said, they zealously affect you. Why? They're on fire about this. They're excited about the fact that Brother Duffy, he is supposed to worship on Saturday. I'm vehemently, any other day, you're in sin, you're wicked. He said, they are zealously affecting you. He says, they affect you, but not well. He said, yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. What's the connotation there? It's a bad thing. And not only when I am present with you, he begins to let them know they're affecting you. He says, but it's not good. Why? They have pushed them back into bondage. And so to have this church in Smyrna going through this turmoil, they're trying to stand through this pressure. They're trying to stand through this persecution because the Jews then are persecuting the Christians and their liberty. Go over to chapter 5 and verse number 1. What is Paul's encouragement? Pastor White, read that one. Paul's encouragement was, hey, stand fast in Christ. Don't get in bondage with all these days and months and holy days and stuff like that. Amen. That's not going to help you at all. Notice what he says out there in verse number 2, Brother Duffy, in regards to the circumcision.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing.
And verse number 3.
For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law.
He says, if you miss one part, you got to do it all. How many of y'all want to keep all the law, all the laws that they had? There was, I think it's like a 600 and something law. Maybe it was probably more than that. You can't even remember them all. Because the laws had laws that had laws that had laws. And they had in-laws, amen? So there's a bunch of them, amen? So he said, no, this is not going to work. Come over to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And Colossians chapter number 2, and let's pick it up in verse number 9. Again, if they were allowed to coexist in the church, there would be some problems. Colossians chapter 2. And y'all know how close Colossians is to Philippians, right? Colossians. Somebody read for me verses 9 and 10. Who's got that? Colossians 2, 9. G2, read that.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Amen. Ye are what in him? Complete. Do I need the law? No, I don't. I don't. Now, we're going to look at what the law is good for here in just a minute. Amen. Let's see. Go over to, we're at Colossians 2, go over to chapter, verse 13. Notice what verse 13 says. Matter of fact, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he what? Quickened together with him. Quickened means to be made alive, having forgiven you all trespasses. And what did Jesus do when he died on the cross? Verse 14. Read that, Pastor White. The handwriting of ordinances, that's the laws that they had to do. He said he took it, and what did he do? Put it on the cross. When Jesus died, he died for yours and my lack of ability to fulfill the law. Could we keep all the law? No. When Jesus died, he took all of the law and stuck it up on the cross and said, it is fulfilled, it is finished. All right. And notice what he says down there in verse number 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in what? Meat. I can have my ham. Give me my ham sandwich back. Or in drink or respect of an holy day. I don't have to do the Sabbath. By the way, every day is a special day with Jesus. Amen. Or of the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So he lets them know down there, don't worry about all the things that are tied into the law, because when Christ died, he died for the law, he nailed it to the cross, he was buried, and he rose again, and he gave us what? His Holy Spirit. And so we don't need that, which brings me to my next question. Go back to Romans chapter 10. Because there are people that will tell you, contrary to what you just read, Daniel, they will tell you, you got to keep the law. And if you don't keep the law, you're in sin. And they will go back to the Old Testament to justify it. They dare not touch the New Testament. And if they do touch it, they'll hit and miss over areas and take them out of context. All right. Notice down there in Romans chapter 10, and somebody read verse 4 for me. Who's got that? Romans 10, 4. Who's got that? G2?
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes.
Christ is the what?
The end.
The end of the law? No. The end of the road? Oh, no. You mean to tell me that is it? It's over. It's finished. It's done, Brother Duffy? He is the end. I can be righteous without the law? Is that true, Brother Fred? I can be righteous. I don't have to eat, stay away from my ham sandwiches and chuck my shrimp out. I can have my catfish, Pastor White, and not be in sin. I can have my hog feeds and the hog maws. My ham hocks, Brother Kelly. Brother Kelly, say whatever floats your boat, amen. I ain't touching that stuff, but you can have it, amen. He said, Christ is the end of the law, amen. And you know, you share this with people and they don't get it. Why would anybody want to forfeit that to keep a law that they know they can't keep anyway? But there are those that do. There are those that do. And they think that's spiritual. It's spiritual. But you can't get it past the Bible. So Romans 10:4 and then verse 5, notice what he says. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. Now the man which doeth those things shall what? You live by it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to die by it because you can't keep it. That's why he said Christ nailed those written ordinances to the cross. And so we believe that we're justified by faith, by grace through faith. Amen. So when you look at this area and we know that this is true, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The people, obviously, in this church were teaching and preaching contrary to this if they were in that church. And so Jesus Christ, speaking through John, is saying, don't worry about those guys. You know what's right. They're of the synagogue of Satan. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talking about reaching people. And notice what he says in verse number 21. To them that are without the law as what? Without law, but notice in parentheses what it says, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. He said, I'm not saying that I'm lawless and I'm a lawbreaker. I'm in an agreement with God. I have a law with God. I've got a relationship with God. Now, how did we even get there? Notice what he says in verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I may gain the more. Paul said, I want to reach people. And unto the Jews, I became as a what? A Jew that I may gain the Jews. Now, he didn't say I started practicing Judaism. He said, but I understood their customs and their way of life. And I was able to talk with them based upon that. He said that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. He said, I could talk with them that were under the law. Amen. By the way, Daniel here used to work with air conditioners. Daniel can talk with somebody who works with air conditioners. Me, I know how to turn it on and turn it off. I know how to change the air filter, and that's about it. Daniel could get into circuits and breakers and wattages and this, that, and the other. Brother Kelly's a fix-it man. He could talk to people about studs and wood and carpentry and stuff like that. Brother, I know how to break it all down. I don't know how to fix it. Amen. Brother Duffy could talk to somebody about trains and transportation and the things on that. I couldn't do that. What am I saying? Paul said I could talk with people on different levels because I knew a little bit about what they were going through. Not that I became as them, but I knew what they knew. By the way, the best way to reach somebody is to be able to know what they know. Amen. That's why I can talk with a drunkard with the best of them. Why? I used to be one. I can talk with somebody who used to use drugs. Why? I used to use drugs. I can talk with somebody that's addicted to music. Why? I used to DJ the radio and the parties. I know what music can do. I know the beats and I know how it gets in the people and make them start doing like this. Yeah, you put on that right music and man, it starts changing the whole mood. I knew to tell them, hey, turn those lights down. Then I put on that slow music. Then people start looking for that other person over there. Then there were those that were starting to hide. Amen. Because they didn't want to go out there. Amen. Why? I can talk to people on that level. Paul said, I could talk to these people. I could reach them. Notice what he says down there, verse 21, to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I may gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And this I do for what? the gospel's sakes, that I may be partakers thereof with you. Paul said it was all about and for the gospel of me doing this. The other folks, they were doing it to bring people back into bondage. Paul said, I'm trying to do this to get people free. And so the question is raised then, if we are without the law, then how do we live? If we don't have a law that governs and guides us, then how do we live? How should we live? By grace through faith? Yes, that's true. We say, Brother Tony? Christ-like. Christ-like, amen. How do we live? If we don't have this law, we don't have this set of rules of thou shalt nots, how do we live? By grace, by passing by home the Bible, amen. Matthew 7:12, amen. Go over to Matthew 7:12. How do we live? Of course, Christ-likeness, by faith. All the answers y'all gave are correct answers. But Jesus kind of capsulized it as well. We call it the golden what? The golden rule. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Who's got that one? Miss Duffy?
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Jesus said, you want to know what? Everything that was written in the Old Testament can be summed up in just doing right by others, because it's right to do, because you want somebody to do right by you. Think about it. The Ten Commandments, the first four are sins against God. The next six are sins against who? So he says, this is how you live. Just do right. But guess what? He didn't stop there. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us do right. The people in Smyrna that were fighting against them were living by a law, trying to do this by the law and not by grace through faith. And so they leave out a key ingredient that Ephesus was guilty of, and that's called love. Because they want to live by law. There is no love in obeying the stop sign, is there? How many of y'all feel more loved after you stop at a stop sign? How many of y'all feel more loved after you stop at a traffic light? Oh, I feel like the government loves me. You run it, you feel hated on, amen. I tell you that. You don't feel any love by keeping the law. You have done your duty. You stopped at the stoplight. Mr. Duffy's there. Now, if Mr. Duffy runs the stoplight, yeah, he's a lawbreaker. He deserves punishment. But you don't get any quirks because, oh, I feel so loved because I obeyed the stop sign. Oh, the government loves me. Daniel, I'm its favorite child. No, I don't think so. But he says, if you love to be treated right, then treat someone else right. And it's not about a law. It's about the love that you have for God. Let's close with these sets of verses here. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. These folks were being persecuted. Matthew 22. And this is where Jesus kind of sums it all up. Because we're not under the law of Moses. And we're not under the law of the Old Testament. Notice what he says here. Master, verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? He said, which one is the most top? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That takes care of commandments 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then verse 39, and the second is like unto it, which we just read, the golden rule. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as who? Thyself. On these two commandments hang what? All the law and the prophets. So going right back to Matthew 7:12, he says, look, if you just do right by God and do right towards others, you don't need a law. And I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to help you. Why? The law was outside pushing in. The Spirit is inside going out. And guess what? I can obey a stop sign, Pastor White, and have some hate in my heart. But you can't have the Spirit on the inside and call yourself loving somebody and hate them. Not if the Spirit is in charge. But if the law on the outside says thou should not kill, guess what? I can hate on you. And given the right circumstances, I'll get you. But going back to Revelations, we're going to close. He says, you know what? These folks are they're abusing you. They're causing some tough times on you. Why? Law and grace can't coexist. Love and law don't coexist. They're diametrically opposed. Verse 9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. He says, hey, fear none of those things. Don't worry about that. For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. By the way, they physically got thrown into prison. That you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. That literally happened. What's the current encouragement? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What's the encouragement for you and I? We're going to suffer. We may not have folks that are of the synagogue of Satan that say they are Jews, but they are still of the synagogue of Satan that are against us. And Satan will use them. They may be at our jobs. They may be in our communities. They may be in our neighborhoods. They may be people that we see on a frequent basis. But if we stand for Christ-likeness and godliness, they're not going to like us. And the love that we have has to be opposing the law that they stand for. The works that they have has to oppose our faith in Christ that we stand for. And we have to stand fast and faithful unto the end through the persecution. And that's what he's trying to tell this church at Smyrna. Hey, look, it's tough. And I know these folks that are trying to get you, but that's okay. Hey, you're going to go back to work, to school, or wherever you go, and you're going to get the folks that are of the synagogue of Satan. They're going to try to attack you. They're going to try to attack your personality, your person, whatever you do, whatever you say. They'll use your words against you. He said, but just stand. How do we operate even though we don't have a law? Love. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Is it always easy? Ha, are you kidding me? We like the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Amen. Is that right, Brother Duffy? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Get them. But that's not Jesus' way. And so our job is to stand. Be faithful, he said, even against it when those folks are rebuking us. Father, help us. These Christians here were standing in the synagogue of Satan, was there to oppose them. Lord, we know law and grace doesn't mix. Works and faith don't coexist. It's either law or grace, it's either works or faith. And we see the clear teachings of the Word of God that the sacrificial laws, the blood laws, the holy days, the Sabbath laws, those are all done and over with. And our goal is to serve you in spirit and in truth, serve you because we love you. Our job, Lord, is to love you with all of our hearts and minds and souls. Our job then is to love our neighbor as ourselves. You said that contains all the law, all the prophets therein. So Lord, as we depart from here and go our separate ways, and as we traverse the highways and the byways and compel people to come, may we understand that they need the living gospel that we have to free them from the synagogue of Satan, those that would like to put us back into bondage. And so Lord, help us to go with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of God and the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be a witness through persecution and stand even when it's difficult. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and help us tonight to be what we need to be for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Pastor White has our closing announcement.